Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. The topic of today's show is actually a suggestion from Sasha, a listener of mine, and the topic is preventing strokes. Sasha sent me an email, said that her mother has had two or three small strokes, and she doesn't know what to do to prevent her from having another one. Well, that's certainly a warranted concern, Sasha, from the standpoint that what we do know about strokes is it's those little mini strokes, those precursor strokes, that if not dealt with very quickly and very straightforward, it could be a precursor to a massive stroke. So your concern is very accurate, is very warranted. And then also, there's so many things that we can actually do to be able to prevent stroke that basically is just a lifestyle change as much as anything else. And I'm going to be talking about that throughout the show. And then I'm going to be also sharing how, as a medical intuitive, I see stroke in the energy field, either a stroke potential that I can see in the field or what I actually see after someone has had a stroke. And then I'm also going to be sharing some things that you can do to help prevent a stroke and then also help the ones that you love prevent strokes as well. So Sasha, thanks very much. Really, it's very easier than you think. And in fact, 80% of the strokes are preventable if we do make a few of these lifestyle changes. If you have a suggestion for me that you would like me to cover on the show, and thank you so much, a lot of you have, what I'm going to do is I go through those prior to getting a show ready. And if I use your topic, such as I did with Sasha, what I will be doing is I will be sending you an autographed copy of my book, Healing Happens With Your Health. So I really would like to have some direction as far as what your interest is. In order to submit a suggestion for the show, I encourage you to visit my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R, pronounced Reitberger, but it always gets spelled differently, Reitberger.com. There is actually a place on my homepage for you to be able to submit a suggestion. So I encourage you to do that. I love to be able to not only take those suggestions, but do the research. It's a fascinating process to merge what I find from a research standpoint with my medical intuitive skills and what my eyeballs tell me that I see. So it's a wonderful learning experience, I hope, for you as listeners, as well as it is for me to put these things together. In addition to all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or a question for me, I'm good at everything, but hey, you, what are you going to grow up to be? I'm not good at that, still figuring it out. But any question about your health, maybe something that's going on in your life that you would like some direction, please give me a call at 877-230-3062. Or 425-644-5620. Both of those numbers are good for U.S., Canada, and international callers. Well, if any of you have been listening to my show, you've been listening to me in the last few weeks talking about my new internet TV show on VibranceTV.com. Well, we're working out the bugs. This is a very cutting-edge technology that we're using. My producer of the show is actually in Southern California. I do the show in Northern California, and we do it all via the internet and this nifty little camera that up until now seems to have a mind of its own. But we think we're training it and getting conditioned to it's teaching us, and we're teaching it. So every Wednesday, you can listen to me in the morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Contact Talk Radio. And then if you want a double dose of Carol, you can always see me Wednesday afternoons on www.vibrancetv.com, and that's at 3 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. Now, the nice thing about Contact Talk Radio is we archive the show, so you can listen to me anytime. And then the other nice part of vibrancetv.com is that I have my own channel, and you can go on anytime, day or night, any hour, and be able to look at the shows that I've already been presenting. When you do, please bear with us. You know, we get a few of those technical difficulties, so we think we've worked it out. We're going to continue this. But the thing that I wanted to share with you is regards to the new show on the internet TV. I've changed the format. love what I'm doing with Contact Talk Radio, want that to be very distinctive, very different. And I have a variety of topics. We go anywhere from personality to your suggestions to health to medical intuition, just a variety of topics. And then, of course, I take your calls. Love them both. On Vibrance TV, I'm going to actually focus the entire hour on the TV talking about esoteric wisdom and esoteric teachings. I'm going to be talking about the Akashic Records and the angels and the stages of evolution and then, you know, the universe and the realms and the orders and so forth. And share a lot of my esoteric knowledge that I've acquired ever since I've been 15 years old. Now, I'm not going to tell you my age, but I will tell you it has been a long, long time. So what I'm going to be doing is offering the suggestion that I had around the show, and the more I thought about it, was that, you know, we all ask ourselves, who are we? We look at it through our relationships. That's our human part. We look at it through our jobs. Who am I? What do we do to earn a living? How do we identify ourselves in the workplace and in the outer world around our skills and talents? But the question that seems to be really foremost in people's mind, as I call it top of the mind right now, is when we ask that question, who am I? What we're really asking is, who am I as my role in the universe? How do I fit? What is this part of me that is the invisible, that seems to connect me to everything that exists, that drives the way that I view life and I live life and I interact and so forth? So I decided on VibranceTV.com, I'm going to really look at some of the esoteric aspects, the energetic aspects of who we are, how we live, and introduce you to some of the great teachings around what is the universe. So again, if for any reason your schedule doesn't allow it, you can always go to my channel. But I do encourage you, I have a chat line, and I'm going to be answering your chats, your questions that you have on there. And again, I'll be glad to share my medical intuitive skills, but I really wanted to take it a different direction. 2010 is such a pivotal year for us to really look at who we are. So anyway, enough said. I hope that you will join me in the afternoons. That's every Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. That's Pacific Daylight Time. And again, it's on www.vibrancetv.com. Today, I'm going to be talking about the magic of thoughts. Next week, I'm going to be talking about metaphysics and mysticism. And then much requested, because I do a lot of channelings from an order called the Melchizedek's, I'm actually the last, I think it's the 21st, I'm going to have to look at it. Anyway, you can check my schedule, and I'm going to be talking about the Melchizedek's. Who are they? The council? What do they do? So again, if you have a suggestion for my TV show that's on that esoteric nature, again, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Send me a suggestion, put on there, this is for the TV show, and I will do some research and dig into my natural wisdom that I have around the invisible and my ability to see it, and then all that I've learned around the universe and our role in it. So it should be a very exciting show. Two different formats, two different ways, but I hope that you'll continue to enjoy both. Okay, so let me start out by sharing, what do we know about strokes? Some of the research that's been found out that seems to be consistent, meaning that there's not a lot of controversy over it. What we do know is that while a stroke affects people usually over the age of 50, actually it can happen at any age. We know that men are more susceptible than women having a stroke. However, we know that when women have strokes, it's for a different trigger or a different reason. I'm going to share more about that. The contributors behind a stroke can be genetic. It can be chronic, regular heartbeats, where the mind and that parasympathetic system reprograms itself to where it assumes that a regular heartbeat is the natural heartbeat. Well, that can change the chemistry of the body. It can change the blood flow, and it has a lot of ramifications associated with it. Diabetes also is tied to stroke, high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels, obesity, smoking, excessive consumption of salt. This was an interesting thing that I had learned in the research, is that as Americans, we eat 10 to 20 grams of salt a day, and the ideal amount of sodium that we should be having is only 2 grams. And then the major contributor that we know consistently, both male and female, it can happen mentally, emotionally, or physical, that really contributes to the predisposition for stroke is stress. And that we know that it's the third leading cause of death in the United States behind heart disease and cancer. However, some of this interesting research that I alluded to in the fact that men and women get strokes for different reasons, with men, it tends to be more tied to digestion and stress, the high cholesterol, high blood pressure, a lot of times the obesity aspect of it. Again, males tend to be predispositioned to eat more salt than females. So that's what we know about the contributors as well as the genetic for males. But an interesting new study has indicated that the reason that women have a higher predisposition for stroke is directly tied to menopause. It's tied to those hormonal changes that we go through. Because when estrogen changes, the fact is in the female body, we tend to store higher levels of iron, which can lead to the formation of blood clots, as well as affecting the entire cardiovascular system. So the more our estrogen bounces around and decreases, the more difficult it is for the liver in the female body to be able to work with iron the way that it needs to, and it gets these higher levels, which can cause the liver, responsible for the clotting of the blood, to malfunction and to create clots that eventually could become the predisposition for a stroke. And also what we know is that from some other research that I found is that women who are on birth control pills also has an increased risk of stroke. And again, the reason for that is it's tied to estrogen. And I think that when I looked at that, it really tied into a lot of the research that, you know, stroke can happen at any age. Now, if you're on birth control pills, that isn't to say to stop it, but it is something to be mindful of. And there's other things that you can do to cancel that effect of the birth control pills. And that's something that I'm going to be sharing in the next segment. So I encourage you to stay tuned. What I found as a medical intuitive with all illnesses, stress is the common denominator. And of course, it is the major contributor around stroke, both male and female. And what I found as a medical intuitive, when I'm working on someone who appears to have a high predisposition to stroke, I always find the presence of stress. What does that look like in the field? Stress causes the field itself to basically shrink. You would think that it would expand, but it doesn't. It actually shrinks. And what it gets is it gets these red hot spots in it. This is where I have the buildup of energy that lets me know as a medical intuitive when I look at the aura that these are the areas that this person is carrying that stress effect. That can be in the liver. It can be in the stomach. It can be in the adrenals. It can be in the head. It can be in the neck. It can be in the heart. And believe it or not, I can even find it in the prostate in males, and then I can find it in the uterus in females. So again, when I find that those red spots in the field where the field is close to the body in protection, because that's what the body's trying to do, is to protect us, we get these red hot spots. One of the areas I always go and look at is the liver, and then also the adrenals, because those are actually tied to the stress effects. When we get that warning that we are going into a stress attack, the liver starts secreting a glucose that triggers this whole chain reaction. And one of the things that it does is it kicks the adrenals kind of in the bottom and says, listen, guys, you know, listen up. You need to really be able to be on alert. We don't know what's going to happen. Those adrenals and the liver combination starts to thicken the blood. So if anything does happen, we're not going to bleed to death, exactly what it's supposed to do, but it overreacts. And in that overreacting, it can actually create too many clots. It can keep that adrenaline going. It can change in a corticosteroid, a faux estrogen, which basically the female body says, oh, I've got too much estrogen. I don't know what to do. And all of those can be a precursor for the potential for stroke. It doesn't mean you're going to get it. But what it does mean is that you need to go in and find some ways to be able to manage your stress. The best way to manage stress is for you to manage it and it not to manage you. So again, some of the things that you can do is stress management. That can be breathing exercises, affirmations, quick, mindful tools that you can do, visualizations, guided imagery. There's a wonderful one that's called Nowhere to Go, Nothing to Go, Do, Nothing to Go. That's a metaphor for what happens in the liver, but nothing to do. So when you get into that real stress place where you can find your breathing rapid and shallow, and you might even become aware of your heartbeat, what you want to do is you want to breathe in and you say nowhere to go. You breathe out, say nothing to do. Nowhere to go tells the heart basically to just calm the body. The body starts to relax. When you exhale, nothing to do, what that does is it tells the brain you can stop thinking and cycling and ruminating on what is going on. Very, very effective way to be able to do it quick. You can do it anytime that you get stressed. Some of the emotional patterns that I found associated with strokes are a no one cares about me attitude, not feeling supported, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. That can be a proverbial pessimistic attitude that can be the result of maybe us always feeling that over sense of responsibility that we have where we have to fix everything. And then, of course, could always be the outcome of our family of origin or our childhood and the patterns that we have from that. So if you have this attitude that no one loves you, well, that may very well be true, and it may very well be something that your mind certainly knows is true, even though it isn't. The best thing is that nobody cares, nobody loves me. That's not true. You care, you love yourself, very important. Feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, negative thoughts that clog the brain, kind of get that same congestion, that foggy, fuzzy thinking that happens in the brain that creates a stress in its own way. The excessive need to control, fear of financial loss, something that we're all dealing with to some degree. Those who are blessed with a job that are able to maintain the financial stability they need have their own stressors. Those, of course, without a job have their stressors as well. So again, it's really going in and looking at the situation. The best way to do it, I know it may sound like, you know, it's a cop-out, that's not, or an avoidance, it's not. But really, if you're in a financial situation, step back and look at it and ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? And when you do, you step out of that congestion. You step out of that pattern of thinking. And the worst that can happen is maybe you get to move. You may not want to, but you can. And then once you start thinking in those terms, the brain doesn't become clogged. It actually finds ways to be able to come in and find new ways to think, new options, new solutions. Very, very important. People who see life as a constant power struggle. The reality is it's not the power struggle with other people. It's the power struggle we have within ourselves. Learning to say no is a wonderful, natural, preventative way to be able to minimize the impact of the potential for stroke. The inability to trust themselves, the compulsive overachiever, and the inability to cope with change. Interesting in our human nature. Change is something that we know is a natural part of life, but we spend a lot of time trying to control what we can change. And in reality, we really can stop the flow. It can create the scarcity, the financial worry, and so forth. And so change what you can, what you cannot change, then step back and realize that you're not in control of it. What you can do, though, in stress management is you can control your reaction, your response to the change that you're facing. So again, that micro managing of our own self and our little world is something that has great benefit in many ways. If I were doing another show on the power of thought, I would say that that thought has a lot of intention, attention, very good for motivation. But when it comes to the health of the body and the stress, then that need to be excessively controlling of our life, of our task, of our people, of our environment, of our everything, just keeps us in a constant state of low-grade anxiety. And again, one of the things, everything I've said set aside, the number one contributor to stroke is stress. So I'm going to be talking about this a little bit more as I go in to the rest of the second half of the show, but I want to jump in right now, and I would like to go in. Candy, hi, from New Hampshire. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. I have a question for my boyfriend, Mark.
Okay.
He's had his hands have been numb and tingly, and he said that they hurt a lot, and he's gone to the doctor, and they're saying now that he's on the verge of getting diabetes or something like that. And he also has, now he's having sharp pains on the right side underneath the rib.
Okay.
He's having a sharp pain there.
Okay, well, thank you, sweetie, for that. And, you know, please thank Mark. Wow, he just gave me a lot of permission to be able to go in his field. I'm very appreciative of that so I can, you know, work directly with him. One of the things, the reason that the doctors are looking at the diabetes aspect of it is they're looking at something called neuropathy. And it is not uncommon for people who are diabetic to experience neuropathy. What that can mean is it can be weakness in the muscles itself. It can also create an irritation in the nerves itself. But there's something I want to step beyond that, sweetie, with him, is I can go into Mark and I can find three different injuries in his spine. I can find an injury in the mid-neck part of his spine, almost like a head bump or a whiplash or something that occurred. It's been there for a long time meaning probably 10, maybe 15 years, so he might be able to go back into his memory banks on that. But I have a natural tendency for the vertebrae, and it's specifically C3 and 4, cervical vertebrae 3 and 4, tends to get out of a line. And what it does is it's creating those little mastoid muscles in the neck area to tighten down on him. When they tighten down the muscles in the shoulder itself, and then I go into the brachial plexus and the spine itself, which is where the cervical spine and where the thoracic spine come together. And I've got another injury there. And in that brachial plexus are the peripheral nerves that animates his arms and his hands. My sense is what he's dealing with is that he's dealing with a compression on the nerves itself in that area. And it doesn't seem like it's all the time. It's becoming worse because of, it feels like some arthritis and some things that are occurring in his body that are causing these vertebrae to get out of alignment. As a result, it's putting compression on those nerves. And my sense is what he's really experiencing is a form of peripheral neuropathy, which can have a lot of the same symptomology associated with diabetes. But again, that's what I'm picking up. When I go lower into the back, where the neck has been trying to adjust, the shoulders have been trying to adjust, right in his, just below his shoulder blades, there's another plexus called the thoracic plexus. The nerves in that area animate not only the heart area, as far as the natural beating aspect of it, the heartbeat part of it, but also it has to do with digestion, it has to do with liver, and also something called a cranial nerve, which is nerve number 10. It's called the vagus nerve, and that animates both the heart and the digestive system, and it impacts the liver itself. My sense is that if he went in and worked with someone that did a non-force chiropractic, or he worked with someone with acupressure or acupuncture, or he went in and he got regular massages, or he looked at curcumin or turmeric or boswellia, some of the things that are a natural anti-inflammatory of the nerves itself, then the muscles would relax, and then the nerves would relax and heal themselves. And my sense is that then he would stop having these pains that he has. My sense is the sharp pain in that right side underneath the diaphragm itself, or that lower rib cage, has two things. One is we've got a nerve that's being pinched, and if he turns a certain way, it's going to pinch it. It's going to give him a sharp jolt, and that's probably the pain that he's feeling there. Oh, something else, he could look at craniosacral therapy. And then the other part of it is that he really, it would be worthwhile for him to go in and do some liver cleansing. He can do that via food. Greens, reds, yellows, kind of a rainbow diet. He can do those kind of things, but it's like his liver needs to go in and just have a cleansing of it. I work with a gastrointestinal doctor that uses a liver cleanse. Basically, you use a pot that isn't aluminum. You add distilled water. You throw in every red color vegetable that you can find, beets, and you can put turnips, and you can put parsnips, and you can put kale and greens and orange things like sweet potatoes and stuff. Put it all in there. simmer it till it gets to a place, as this doctor says, till it gets to a place where everything is soft, which means that the parsnips and the beets and stuff will take a little bit longer. And then what you want to do is sift out, take out, strain out all of the vegetables themselves. If you want to eat them, save them. But then what you do is drink the broth. Now, one of the caveats is it's a great liver cleanser, but it can, in some people, create diarrhea and a cleansing. That isn't a bad thing. So that's something that you might look at. But I really do believe, Candy, that his issue really, sweetie, has more to do with vertebrae and nerves than it does with diabetes. I can pick up a predisposition of diabetes on his mother's side, but I just, you know, I think that they're kind of shooting and trying to find something that they can. I'm not sure they're going to find a clear, conclusive diagnosis if they go with diabetes.
Well, they gave him some pills to take. Should he be taking those?
So I would need to know what those pills are. Are they a pain pill? Are they a prednisone? I need to know kind of what they are. Let me see if I can do it energetically. Yes, at this point in time, especially if he were to, you know, do some liver cleanse and he were to drink a lot of water and try to get some of this out of there, what it feels like it's doing is it feels that, as I can just barely touch it, it feels like it's got kind of an anti-inflammatory quelling that's what I call it. That's a lot of why we use prednisone. But it feels like it's got that. And then it also is giving him some reprieve. And that reprieve aspect is allowing his mind to really kind of go in and reprogram itself, saying, you know, it may be a chronic issue, but it isn't necessarily going to be a lifelong issue. That's what my sense is with the medication. But it feels like, is he on another medication besides this one?
They gave him one at first that made his stomach hurt. And
yeah.
Then, I think he stopped taking those.
Okay. Is he
taking? I know they gave him a thing to check his your blood sugar level.
Right.
You
right.
know, and
yeah.
I think that gives more nervousness to it. You know.
Yeah.
What is it now? Type stuff.
Yeah. No, it does. It's, you know, until you get into that, you know, place where you can get some consistency. You know, the thing that I keep picking up with diabetes is, even with a family predisposition on it, Candy, it just feels like that if in fact that it was a diabetic response, he could probably change the diabetes with a diet change, sweetie. And that may be something to look at. If he's doing Aleve or Advil or ibuprofen, it may be that he's getting some interaction with the medication that the doctor's giving him. That may be what I'm picking up. I'm sorry, I'm kind of truthfully shooting in the dark on this thing, because I can pick up the vibration of the medication, but it feels like there's an interaction with something else that he's doing that I can't get the clarity on.
Right. I think he does take Aleve every once in a while.
Yeah. So again, I think, you know, both of the things that he's taking feels like it's difficult on his stomach. So if he's going to do the medication and continue that, which again, I don't get this thing like, oh, and I wouldn't say it anyway, you don't take that. But what I would do is be honest like I am and saying, you know, something feels like it's interacting. Anytime he takes medication, he needs to put something in his stomach to be able to deal with that. If he could do dietary changes, work with a little bit of the liver, change itself, get off some of the gluten aspect of it. He feels like he's developed a gluten intolerance. He might look at some of those things. I think that what the doctors are looking for, they're going to find really isn't there. That's what my take is.
Yeah, it seems like a waste of time to me. That's why I called you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. I am so appreciative. I am very glad that we got you on the air. And, you know, again, this is something that if we can work with the spine, I think we're going to see some differences, truthfully.
So most of it is the spine thing.
Yeah, I just keep coming up with it. Every time I circle those wagons and come back, it's just like if I could get those muscles and those vertebrae and those discs back where they need to be and talking to each other, then I think we could get to a place where he's comfortable in his body. And some of the neuropathy things, the peripheral neuropathy that I'm picking up in his hands, are going to take care of itself.
Well, I have another quick question. He has a heart valve murmur or something like that. Do you see something?
Yeah. That's why I had gone in with the cranial nerve when I talked about the cranial nerve and talked about it animating the heart and the heartbeat itself. That's why I thought cranial sacral would be able to help him. Yes, he does have a murmur. And again, this is a birth situation and something, the more stress it gets under, whether that's, you know, mental, emotionally, or physical, then it creates that, murmur to effect. It creates that irregular heartbeat that just seems to be sporadic. Again, I can tie that to some of the foods. So I can get the spine, I can get the foods, and I can get the heartbeat. I think if we do the foods, then it's going to help with the heartbeat. It's going to help with the cleansing of the liver. I think if we get the spine, then everything else will start to fall into place.
Well, that's great. I'll have to have him listen to this because he's at work right now.
Yeah, no, please do. And thanks so much, Candy. And thanks for being a new caller on my show and supporting my work. I really appreciate
it. I've called you once before.
Well, you know what? Did you call me last week?
Yes, I was on the line waiting and I didn't get
Yes, you were. I saw that. And it says boyfriend having health issues. And it's like deja vu. I've been here before. Well, light and love to you, my sweet. And then thanks for supporting my work. I'm sorry. I hate to do this. I just got to go on because I've got a couple other callers. And Rebecca's saying to me, we need to go to a commercial break. Candy, thank you, my love. All right, Miss Rebecca, I think we're ready, sweetie. Let's go to a commercial break. Please stay tuned. I'm going to be talking about what you can do to help prevent stroke in the next segment of the show. Thanks for joining me.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back and thanks again for joining me and spending your Wednesday morning with me. Today's topic is preventing stroke. Again, as I had mentioned in the first segment, it is a suggestion from a listener. So if you have a suggestion for me about a show that you would like me, a topic that you would like me to cover, please go to my website, www.reitberger.com. Tell me what it is, and then I will do my darndest to be able to squeeze it in. I'm also sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. I also would like to invite you to join me on my free April free Your Health teleclass. It's going to be taking place April 22nd, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month is insomnia. Again, I get a lot of requests for this. Not only insomnia, you know, how do you fall asleep? How do you stay asleep? But also I'm going to be talking about some of the sleep disorders that are associated with insomnia, such as sleep apnea, and then sharing some of the ways that I see it as a medical intuitive, some of the psychological meanings behind it. Where do you find insomnia in the energy field and in the chakras to be able to deal with it? So I look at it from chakra mapping, energy, psychological aspects, a general description of it. But I hope that the most important thing that I do is that I offer you some insight as far as what conventional therapies are available, and then also alternative therapies. In this particular class, I have 28 different ways for us to be able to reestablish our sleep patterns and things that we can do before we go to bed. Sometimes it starts 3 or 4 hours before we go to bed, but things that we can do. So again, very important information. And for all of us wonderful female listeners out there, a lot of the sleep problems that we have is due to, again, these hormone changes. And if we know that, then what we can do is we can find ways to be able to work with the cause versus the effect. And so much of the stuff that doctors give us as far as sleep medication or over-the-counter prescription or medication and everything, all of those things, really what I found in the research I've done so far is while they can work to some degree after 3 to 5 days of usage, they really lose their impact in being able to help us reestablish our sleep patterns. So we really have to look at insomnia from a different perspective, and that's what this teleclass is going to do. So if you would like to join me, again, it's a 60-minute teleclass. It's on insomnia. You just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and remember that it is free, and that if you or a loved one has insomnia, then you might want to listen to it. And then following, 4 days after the teleclass itself, I offer an audio PDF, audio download and a printable reference sheet on insomnia that you can actually print. And you can be able to keep it as a reference guide. I have a lot of listeners that literally are creating this whole source, an encyclopedia of illnesses from a holistic perspective. So again, the PDFs and the audio download will be available for purchase 4 days after the teleclass itself. Okay, so what are some of the simple steps that we can do to help us recognize, first of all, that either we or someone is having a stroke? This is where it needs to start. And where you do is, the first thing is if I'm going to use the situation where you're working with someone that has had a stroke, you ask the person to smile. The first area of the body that is impacted is in that part of the brain that's tied to the motor skills, tied to muscles and nerves. So ask them to smile. Ask him or her to raise both arms, and then also ask them to speak a simple sentence coherently. For example, it is sunny out today. If a person is unable to do this, then what you want to do is you want to immediately call 911. Describe the symptoms to the dispatcher, and the purpose of that is that every minute after someone has had a stroke is critical in being able to help that brain reestablish its connection. And in fact, what we found in the research is the first 6 hours that we work with a stroke, get somebody to a hospital, get them working with a stroke, the doctors working with it, it's probably blood thinners. Then what they're going to do is they're going to put them in a physical therapy program. After those first 6 hours, if the stroke is not dealt with, it does have the potential, in fact, 85 to 90% potential, that it will actually create a permanent brain damage to the point where it's difficult for the brain to restore itself back into any kind of a working situation. And then it takes longer because the brain has to build the detours around the area that is basically being impacted. So those are three of the very simple things that you can do. If you feel that you're having a stroke, the first thing you want to do is try to smile. And I know in the fray of the moment, you may be afraid and experiencing the fear. Your heart may be trying to pound out of your body, but if you cannot smile, then the next thing you need to do is call 911 and get help. The best preventative way to prevent stroke, excuse me, is to lower your blood pressure. That can be done by taking a small dosage of aspirin a day. One of the other research that's coming up is showing that for females, 81 milligram of aspirin not only helps keep that blood thin the way that it needs to, it's an anti-inflammatory, which females in that change of life seems to have more of an inflammatory response and reaction to things. And then also, there's been some latest research that shows that a small dosage of aspirin also can help minimize the potential for breast cancer. And the reason for that is that the aspirin itself has a specific enzyme that makes the blood less prone to that dangerous clotting. Before you do take any aspirin, though, I always encourage, please go talk to your doctor and be sure that it's something that your doctor can work with you for, with, or a holistic practitioner, because there is a potential that in that, even that small dosage of aspirin, someone who has digestive problems, irritable bowel or ulcers, or may have a chronic Crohn's or any of the digestive things, that it could be that the aspirin itself will not be of benefit for you. So again, always consult your physician. Another way to be able to keep the blood pressure lowered is to eat fresh ginger every day in small quantities. Ginger not only inhibits the same enzyme that thins the blood, it does so without having the side effects that are associated with aspirin, such as the stomach irritation and bleeding. Ginger is very, very much of a purifier. It's an anti-inflammatory response that it creates in the body itself, meaning that it quells the inflammation in the body. So a little bit of ginger every day, fresh ginger, slice it, put it in a cup of tea. Or what you might want to do is just put it in some cooking and doing something like that. But a little bit of ginger goes a long way. Some of the other preventative measures are changing your diet to eliminate fat. Our bodies have a very difficult time being able to assimilate and to eliminate high levels of fat, animal fat in particular. There are good fats. We have a lot of good fat from avocados and other things, the fat that we find in cold water fish, all of those things are beneficial. So again, if you are a meat eater, just minimize the amount of fat in the meat that you eat. Maybe come back to the point where you don't eat as many ounces of meat, lots of different things. They're really common sense things that we can do. Also go in and to eliminate caffeine and then excessive alcohol. A glass of red wine a day is beneficial. In fact, some other latest research shows that a glass of red wine is specifically for the female body is of great benefit. Reduce salt and sugar, eat more fruits and vegetables, drink green tea, put that little bit of slice of ginger in it, eat a green salad every day, and be sure that you get enough fiber. One of the things that I'm going to be talking about with the insomnia teleclass that is that getting enough sleep is important, because that sleep itself is what allows our body to basically detoxify, to be able to repair, to rebuild, and to rejuvenate itself. And a lot of times with all the things that are going on in our life, especially if we're at a time in our life and our age where we're raising children, and we're having to work and we're having to manage households, and that's for both for male and female, very stressful times. So sleep is really important. And the more that's on your plate, the less sleep we as Americans tend to allow ourselves. So again, some things to do, some holistic therapies that work well are massage, meditation, affirmations, self-hypnosis, acupressure, and guided imagery and visualization. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. Very, very powerful. So let's go ahead. Let's take Pam. We're going to see if we can get the
hi, Carol.
Back from. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, I've been having problems with my jaw for over a year now, and I even have a swollen lymph node that won't go down, and seen a dentist, ear, nose, throat guy, and I don't like what they're telling me, so I wanted to know if I could get a reading from you on that.
And what are they telling you, sweetie?
Two different things. The dentist is saying it's bone necrosis and wants to pull some teeth, and mm-hmm. the ear, nose, and throat guy wants to take out my tonsils.
Well, I'm going to tell you, out of the two, I would take out your tonsils.
Okay.
The other thing is that I do understand where your dentist is coming from. And the reason for that is I can go back to, there's three molars. The middle molar itself feels like I've got some, almost some calcification or something that's going on. It's not really an abscess, but it just feels like the nerve or something is calcified in that. And I can see what the dentist is talking about. But the most important thing, that I'm picking up, Pam, is I'm picking up that what we're getting is that what is occurring in the mouth itself, and I'll go there first of all, and the way that you're chewing, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, is changing the way that your jaw is moving. And my sense is that while you have the symptomology of TMJ and not having TMJ, what we have is we have a jaw that's basically trying to compensate for something in its chewing that's happening in the tooth itself. Okay. And so one of the things you could go in, and I'm just going to be really honest with this, and sorry, dentist, I'm going to go this way. One of the things is, honey, I can feel your jaw hinge out of alignment. And one of the concerns I have is if we don't get that jaw into some kind of alignment, whether you do a retainer at night or you work with somebody with this, what's going to happen is if you work with a dentist, it's going to throw that jaw even off even more. And while it may take care of one problem that the dentist thinks that's there, my sense is it's going to create more of a jaw problem, sweetie.
Okay.
So what you might want to do is I would go and always get a second opinion. But the first thing I would do is deal with the lymph node, because that's actually tied to the tonsils themselves. And the tonsils, there's a couple things. It may be that this is also contributing to the jaw. The tonsils themselves, the breathing that you do is labored. And my sense is that you're opening your mouth more, clenching your teeth more. It kind of goes between the two. And that clench down that I'm going to work with comes in, clenches it way down. It causes that jaw, and then the grinding that occurs, it causes that jaw to work all night long while you're sleeping on top of all day long while you're chewing. And my sense is with the tonsils itself is that they're, and tonsils, it isn't really the anatomy of them, but I'm going to use the metaphor. They're like lymph nodes.
Right.
And what they do is they just get a bunch of gunk in them, and they get a lot of the residual, a lot of the things that are in the mouth, a lot of the things that occur in the whole lymphatic system. And my sense is if you go ahead and get those taken out, then I think that we're going to start to see a change in the way that you breathe at night. You're going to not be as, your mouth isn't going to be as set. I'm not going to get the grinding of the teeth. That could probably help with the jaw. And then you could decide what to do with the teeth itself. And again, I pick up out of the three, it's 1-2, sweetie, and it feels like a nerve that basically just feels like it's just, rotted. I don't know how else to say it. That's what it looks like to me. And as a result, it's filled the space in where the nerve should have been or the roots of the tooth should have been. And it's called caused a calcification that basically has adhered to in a way to the jawbone itself, and I think that's what the dentist is looking at.
Okay. Yeah, I've had this, like I said, I thought I was carrying a low-grade infection this whole time because of that lymph node, how it stayed,
yeah.
And so I need to get a second opinion from a dentist. And I'm 46 years old, so I'm thinking this is too old to have your tonsils taken out, but I
do have things
in my tonsils that you can see.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? The nice part about it is that you'll get to go back and be 3 and 4 and 5 years old when they used to take them out, and you'll get to eat all the ice cream that you want.
That would be great.
Yeah, but no, the reality of it is that they changed the process in taking the tonsils out. Before, it was just something that they did because it created so many ear issues and jaw issues and teeth issues and all the things. And then it came to a place where we just didn't want to go in and remove things until they became a problem. That's where you are, sweetie. They're a problem.
Would you be able to tell me anything about hair loss in my crown?
Yes, I can. That actually feels like it's an alopecia. And what that is it's, and again, I think it may very well be, and let's go this direction, very well be tied to this low-grade infection that we're picking up in the tonsils and the lymph node. Alopecia is inflammation, a buildup in the hair follicles itself that creates encompasses the hair follicle with a pus.
Okay.
I know that sounds gross, but what it does is it tends in alopecia that it tends to hit in certain areas. It isn't necessarily always an overall situation, and it isn't, you're not dealing with female balding pattern that you're working on. It just feels like we've got this low-grade infection. It's creating an infection in the hair follicles itself, and then it just happens to be hitting on that particular area. And in fact, it's interesting. The area that it feels to me, and please, if it's not, tell me. I don't have to always be right, but it feels like where you're losing your hair and where you're dealing with the lymph node feels like it's opposite of each other. Is that accurate?
Well, it's the whole crown,
Okay.
And so it's not just one side.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it feels like when I go to the crown.
You know what? You're right. I think it is heavier on the one side.
Yeah,
you are absolutely right.
On one side. Yep. So what that's just basically, thank you for that. I mean, again, I don't always have to be right. I'll say to people, sometimes I just like to be in the right part of the body. But the thing is I think that what we've got is we've got this dynamics of this energy. You're a very spiritual person. Open up your seventh chakra, your crown, connect to your higher self, your I am. Very wise, very intuitive. You have a lot to say in that fifth chakra that's tied to that lymph node. You know, just say it, sweetie.
Okay.
The universe gave me a great gift, and I'm going to share it with you, Pam, because I needed to remember it today. So thanks, sweetie, for calling me. The great gift that the universe gave me was something called the three S's of the universe. Some will, some won't, so what? So the bottom line of it is, if you think it and it's truth to you, you say it.
Okay.
And how you deliver it is from your heart. If you deliver it out of anger, then don't say it, rethink it, and then say it from your heart. When you do that, then it will keep this energy from building up at the top of the crown where you kind of squeeze yourself out of your intuitiveness. You don't trust it. You talk yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like all these emotions build up in that lymph node in that area. And that's what's in your tonsils. It's just a whole bunch of things that you've wanted to say throughout your life that, you know, just get rid of them.
Absolutely correct. Great advice. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Oh, my pleasure. Well, it has been wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the line. I'm sorry that I lost you. My caller from Canada, light and love to you. I hope that you will be patient enough to call us back. And all of you, thank you so much for joining me today. It's just been delightful. I always enjoy, again, sharing my medical intuitive skills, but my yellow personality absolutely loves the research that goes into putting these shows together. Also, the research that goes into my teleclass. My March teleclass was on chronic pain, the audio. Download and the PDF are available. I need to tell all of you 46 different books to write that. I love it. And it's a 26-page document, talks all about chronic pain. So again, thanks for being always the impetus behind what I do and for teaching me how to refine all of this. Again, I want to thank you for joining me today. If for any reason you want to re-listen to this show, you can always go to my website, www.richberger.com. Go on to my homepage. Run the cursor over radio, archives come up, click on it, and every show I've done on Contact Radio, Talk Radio, Contact Talk Radio, it's been actually 1 year and 1 week. Boy, how much fun has that been? Anyway, they're all there. And then I hope that you will try to join me either live on my show on VibranceTV.com every Wednesday at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock PM Pacific Daylight Time. I hope you'll join me and send me some ideas of what you'd like to talk about, angels and talking about karma and the Akashic records, whatever your interest is. I think it's going to be a fun show. You can listen to that and view that anytime via your computer on my channel on www.vibrancetv.com. Anyway, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful day. Thank you, Contact Talk Radio, for a great year. And I hope you'll join me next week. I'll see you on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.